The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From sunny California to the world, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, remember, the show is free. Here's Nate.
Hey, it's Friday, everybody. And to quote a meteorologist I heard on TV, it's the weekend, who cares? I'm not going to say which one it was, but some people know. Hey, it's the weekend.
It's the weekend.
Who cares? Maybe, I don't know, maybe people who want to make fucking plans. How about you just give the forecast and shut up?
Do your fucking job.
Another day in my pointless existence.
Coming up on the show today, oh hell, I already talked about Donnie Wahlberg's endorsement on the last show, so that's gone.
Bye.
Fuck that. It's more time to talk about other nonsense.
Sweet.
What does a 110-year-old lady have to offer in terms of advice?
Shut up.
Local news has the answer for you.
I'm sure she's got something for you. Some big dick.
Be quiet. Oh, my God.
We'll also examine the key to a lasting relationship.
That's wrong.
I got that. I know that one.
And why taking the $1 megabus might not be the best plan.
Plus fees.
Yeah, well, you get a little extra bonus on this megabus flight. That's what I'm talking about. Let's roll into this. Jason, plans for the weekend, my friend.
Looking at houses with our realtor, mm-hmm. And that's probably going to be it. I think we have something we're doing on Saturday. I can't remember. I don't know.
But maybe go to Home Depot, make a nice little Saturday of it.
Make a little Saturday of it, go to Lowe's. We go to Lowe's. Go to Home Depot. Lowe's.
Whatever. Whatevs. Whatevs you got going on.
Yeah. Get some silicone.
For anybody who missed the last show, Kareem is on the East Coast. Sam's car doesn't work right now because he bought it on Craigslist. Oh, and Diana is got a job, so we'll figure it out. She'll show up at some point.
Employment is overrated.
My friend Jay joins us again.
Hello.
So you've been in Sacramento for 3 days now.
I have.
It's not your first trip to Sacramento
either.
No. What is your impression of the city that is on the come, as they would say?
Phrasing. It's been interesting to see the craft beer scene grow here with every visit. Like I'm here like roughly every like what 6-8 months.
Yeah,
or
about
something
that.
Like that. And just in those small intervals, I show up. I'm like, oh, that's a new craft brewery. That's a new craft brewery.
And there's two more opening.
Yeah.
In the next week or so.
Yeah, so it's cool to see that scene becoming, you know, more and more, growing more and more in this region. Otherwise, Sacramento's a perfectly fine place. I'm looking for employment here,
it's
possibly.
It's perfectly okay.
It's perfectly mediocre.
Welcome to Sacramento. Perfectly okay.
Sacramento.
It's all right.
It'll do.
That's right. Sacramento, don't get your hopes up. And you'll be fine. That's what's going on here. But we do have lovely sunsets, as it were. And you and I went to one of my favorite restaurants a couple nights ago, the Flaming Grill.
Ooh.
And the Camel Toe Burger.
Well, no toe, just Camel.
Oh, okay.
Just Camel. Jason, have you been to the Flaming Grill yet?
No, I have not.
You need to go to the Flaming Grill if you enjoy really good burgers. They've got exotic meats. As we mentioned, we had the Camel Burger, which is one of my favorites. But they've got a few other exotic things. And just their regular sirloin burger is delightful.
Their sirloin.
They've got a second location they open in Elk Grove. Don't go to that one yet.
Fuck no.
Unless you live in Elk Grove. If you live in Elk Grove, go to it.
No, if you're in Elk Grove, fucking move. Jesus
so
Christ.
So much love for the capital
what
region.
What the fuck? Why do you live in Elk Grove?
What's wrong with you?
What?
I would,
come on.
Reflect upon the decisions that led you to...
The schools are not that much better.
Listen,
so really, get the fuck out of
there. What if they want to live a half hour closer to Stockton?
Yeah. Like I said, why the fuck?
Elk Grove, that much closer to Stockton. I think that's their slogan.
Yeah, we're a regular tourism bureau here today.
One out of three people is shot here.
Welcome. They don't shoot people in Elk Grove. They shoot themselves from boredom.
Yeah. Stockton, thank you for your bravery.
Yeah, and I mean, Elk Grove is the chain restaurant capital of the Capital Region.
Yeah, you can go to everywhere there. Like, in one afternoon, you could go to Outback, you go to In-N-Out, you can go to Wendy's, you can go to KFC and an A&W. You can go to Strings. You didn't even know those existed anymore.
Oh.
What? Strings? That's like an Italian, like, fast market, like,
oh,
you know, like,
they decided to name it after like what you'd pull a tampon out by.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds great.
Let's see, the Texas Roadhouse, Chuck E. Cheese, McDonald's. Did I go there yet?
No, I didn't think there was a Texas Roadhouse in California.
Oh, yeah,
aware of that. Yeah, they have a Texas Roadhouse.
There's one in Elk Grove.
Yeah, they got one there. Like
something
I said,
every day.
They got them all.
This Elk Grove place sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yes, if you think going to Applebee's is a great treat,
or Chevy's. Or Chili's.
Yeah. Is there a Sizzler?
No, of course there's a Sizzler.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a Golden Corral.
A TGI. No, I think they actually closed that Golden Corral.
They did,
they
yeah.
They closed like all the Golden Corrals around here. TGI Fridays, of course. I'm pretty sure they have a Red Robin.
They do have a Red Robin. I know. BJ's, they have a BJ
there. Oh, yeah, BJ's Brewhouse.
Fuddruckers?
No.
We found a.
There you go.
We found a chink in the armor.
They do not have a Fuddruckers. That's insensitive. Ask Marilyn Haggerty. She has her daughter-in-law is Chinese. You can't say that.
Therefore, she's an authority.
That's
in
right.
All
you don't know these things. So, it's a great time of year to be in Sacramento too. If you enjoy sunny and 70 degrees,
and who, if you like
who
good
doesn't?
Weather.
By the way, if you don't enjoy sunny and 70 degrees, fuck you. What sort of monster are you? Who doesn't enjoy sunny and 70? I mean,
a duck,
Mr. Freeze. I'm in my freeze layer. I do not care for this. My electric bill went up by a great deal. Speaking of former governor. Former two-term governor, by the way. Two-term governor.
Gray Davis?
He was the original Trump.
Yeah,
think about it.
Well, he was very successful as well. He was big. He was huge. He was successful.
He was huge.
He was huge and successful. Hey, have you guys seen the Pee Wee Herman trailer on Netflix? He's got a new Pee Wee Herman movie.
Oh.
And I heard the guys on the Mike O'Mara show talking about how excited they were and how great Pee Wee Herman looks. And they're like, why? And then one of them looked up, in fact. So they filmed the movie last year. And basically they tape his neck skin back because Paul Rubens is in his 60s. So in order to have a youthful appearance... It requires some sort of artificial facelift, which is just kind of really creepy. What's going on with that? But yeah, that's coming to Netflix. So, hey, your money well spent, Netflix. There's another Pee Wee Herman movie coming.
Jesus.
Because I've demanded it. You know what? Let me just say this. Salute to you, Jim Varney, for passing away young so that there aren't any more Ernest movies. You made enough. Ernest went to jail and the cycle was complete. And then you went to the great beyond. So, salute to you, Jim Varney.
Yeah, he did a couple of good ones, you know.
Yeah, he did. The Ernest movies were okay.
I liked them. Honestly, I like Pee-wee, too. I mean, I watched recently with a kid. Christiana's daughter and Rob. We watched the original Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Sure, and that's fine.
It was awesome.
We don't need more. We do not need more. Was there a clamoring for more Pee-wee?
Was there a clamoring for more Full House?
Well, yes.
Actually, there was.
Yes.
The 90s are in again. Just deal with it. Yeah. Everything 90s is... Ace of Base is making a comeback?
No.
I have no idea, probably.
I'm
no,
coming
no,
back.
They better not. I read a BuzzFeed article on how they were Nazis.
The 90s are coming back, and I'm coming back to the White House for a fresh new crop
right.
of interns.
That's
I'm going to have a lot more free time this time around.
That was good.
We might as well have another President Clinton, exactly.
I don't have any money. I don't have the energy anymore because I went vegan when my ticker stopped working. There will be another whitewash in the White House. All right. So, speaking of which, a South Carolina police officer is accused of watching pornography and performing.
Speaking of which, was she going to segue to that?
I am performing a sex act on himself in his police car while on duty. WIS reported the officer Marshall Lee Harden II, who's 41, has been charged with a misconduct in office connection with the incident last week.
He was hardened for something.
The Camden police officer is accused of watching porn on his cell phone inside his patrol car and performing a sex act on himself in the car and in a nearby public restroom. The suspect... right? The suspect has been jailed in the Kershaw County Detention Center. He also faces charges of, get ready, malfeasance, misfeasance, or nonfeasance.
Misfeasance, as in he couldn't do it right.
I don't know. I'm just reporting.
I'm only reporting
what Fox 8 is reporting. So, by the way, for everybody who thinks that Jason was a pig for masturbating to Rosie O'Donnell as a younger man, this guy's 41 and he still can't control rubbing his crank while he's working.
Oh, yeah, I'm done with that.
How long was your shift, dude?
Well, poor guy. I mean, yeah, maybe I can understand that. There might have been a time or two where I was a security guard guarding a construction site and, you know, all I had was a little bit of extra, I have an extra shirt maybe in the back seat and a little spin in my
VHS
hand.
Player?
I could imagine, or I might have had like a JCPenney catalog next to me.
By the way, going into the bathroom, have you not heard of George Michael? Have you not heard of George Michael? That's how he got arrested all of those times. And by the way, have you not heard of There's Something About Mary?
Or Pee Wee Herman.
They are the gay bathhouses of the 90s. Mm. Since the 90s are back again.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Hey, remember the 90s?
Now, speaking of porn, Knicks coach Kurt Rambis, he was just minding his own business when his phone clicked like on a porn tweet.
Oh, right. His damn phone. Curse you, phone.
At the moment, a Twitter account belonging to interim Knicks coach Kurt Rambis shows just 5 liked tweets, none of which is particularly noteworthy. An example, a man in Kentucky says he once reached out to Rambis with a basketball question during grad school.
He reached, all right.
And that Rambis was kind enough to respond. But over the weekend, someone on Twitter noticed that Rambis' account had liked a tweet from user at I like to touch. That read, and I quote, love female masturbation, hashtag NSFW. The tweet also included an image that was indeed hashtag NSFW. But an ex spokesperson tells the Daily News that Rambis wasn't responsible for the like, and his account was hacked and or spammed. Quote, Kurt did not like those items on his Twitter page.
No.
And we worked with Twitter to make sure the situation did not happen again.
We worked with Twitter. What does that even mean, we worked with Twitter?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask Jonathan Sopranowitz, the team's... By the way, how super Jewish a name is that? Sopranowitz. He's the team's vice president of public relations. He also pointed out that Rambis' account had liked a tweet about money lending, on which, similarly, Rambis had not actually clicked like. The Daily News took the opportunity to further scrutinize the Twitter activity and noted that he still follows a user at GreatAssDaily.
Well, who doesn't?
Right. This much is clear. It's been a strange season to be a Knicks PR rep, even by Knicks standards. I wonder if he's found out about hashtag Ass Wednesday.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a thing. I'm just saying. There's Ass Wednesday.
That's more I know.
There you go. So you can look that up.
I believe next to Throwback Thursday.
I believe it's Titty Tuesday. Titty Tuesday, Ass Wednesday.
Okay, what's on Friday?
I believe it's fucking Friday.
Well,
pretty
that's
sure.
Kind of
just look up that. Look up. Look
obvious.
Up the hashtag yourself.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Megabus, the discount bus service, which is $1 plus fees for wherever you want to go. Now, first of all, you're riding a bus, so I'm sorry. it burst into flames. And, of course, there was a New York Times travel journalist on board live tweeting.
Of course there is.
Because there's no such thing as bad publicity. Oh, wait, yes, there is. On Sunday, Lucas Peterson, who's a journalist who writes for the New York Times Frugal Traveler blog, boarded a megabus in Chicago bound for Milwaukee. At first, there was an irritating but not disastrous problem. He tweeted, an hour into trip, turning around to switch buses, currently learning that on at Megabus, you get what you pay for. Soon enough, though, things took a turn for the worse, and the bus quickly caught fire, and passengers were forced to evacuate the bus, leaving their luggage inside. Frugal Traveler tweeted again, update, the bus is on fire, with a picture.
The bus.
But the updates didn't end there. Update, the bus exploded. With a picture of the bus fully engulfed in flames. Now, Peterson, probably the very last person Megabucks could have hoped to be riding the specific bus at the specific time, tweeted out updates of the incident as it happened. Here's a bit of the summary. We left Chicago immediately. There seemed to be something wrong because we stopped on the shoulder of the highway a couple times. The driver got out. Then the driver said we have to turn around and go back to Chicago to switch buses. About 5 minutes later, tire blows and we pull over on Highway 41. Driver says it's just a flat tire and there's no need to panic and goes outside. Minutes later, smoke starts pouring out of the bus. Someone on the top deck eventually says, we should get off the bus. So we all get out, people trying to get their luggage. Small fire. Small fire over wheel becomes big. People abandon luggage and get away. Entire thing goes up in flames. Series of loud booms. The good news, no one injured. However, passengers are angry they lost their luggage. Some of them lost their laptops, even a birth certificate. Of course, Megabus only guarantees liability for lost luggage of up to $250. So good luck for you. The passengers did, in fact, make it to their destination at last. Their mode of transportation was naturally another Megabus. Yeah. Some of the sad stories. Darnell McKinney says he was moving to St. Louis. Moving St. Louis to Milwaukee and lost most of his possessions, social security and credit cards, birth certificate. But by the way, don't put that in your fucking suitcase. Put your credit cards in your pocket. Keep them on you.
It's one of the first things, like, when we talk about, like, when you used to educate people about their insurance when I was working at USAA.
Yes.
You tell them to keep that stuff in a separate thing that you carry with you at all times when you are, but of course he's
it's
moving.
It's called a wallet.
Yeah. Briefcase that you're handcuffed.
It's called a wallet. Your birth certificate, I understand, but you can order another birth certificate. That's not that hard to do. Your credit cards and your other stuff, it's called a fucking wallet. Put it in your fucking wallet. Carry it with you everywhere.
It's too bad. I feel sorry for the person.
I don't. I don't.
I know you don't.
I don't.
This
don't
is feel
the,
sorry for
did
anyone.
It to himself.
This is why we work so well together.
He did it to himself.
by going on a Megabus.
By going on a Megabus and putting his fucking credit cards in his fucking suitcase like a mook.
You know who I blame for this? I blame Scott Walker.
Oh yeah.
Because Obama, the administration in the 2009, 2010 kind of, you know, when the federal government gave all these states a bunch of money for high-speed rail or rail improvements or whatnot, Scott Walker came in and said, no, I'm going to be Mr. Responsible and I don't want that money, and, you know, trying to burnish his credentials to eventually run for president. Look how well that went.
I don't want your dirty Obama money.
Yeah.
Who does?
Because there should totally be a better rail option between Milwaukee and Chicago.
But it would cost more than a dollar, so people would be still on the
bus. Probably still on the bus. You're correct about that.
You know, maybe they're saving their money for a big purchase, like the guy who was the winning bidder on a lock of John Lennon's hair. Some of the most famous locks hit the auction block, and he paid big bucks with no whammies. Heritage Auction in Dallas had a 4-inch chunk of Lennon's hair after a hairdresser cut it off before his role in a 1967 movie called How I Won the War. That's right. It's a 49-year-old hunk of hair. Great. According to reports, Paul Fraser, who's a UK-based memorabilia collector, was the highest bidder at $35,000. He saved his money by riding Megabus. No, he did not. It might seem like a lot of money to the average Joe, but as far as the Lennon memorabilia goes, it's loose change. His 65 Rolls-Royce Phantom V sold for $2.23 million, and lyrics to All You Need Is Love netted $1.25 million. But yeah, that is a lot of money for hair.
I'll be honest. I thought it'd be a lot more. 35. I think a lock of John Lennon hair would have, you know, been six figures at least.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You could, technology exists, you could clone John Lennon.
Possibly. I mean, but Paul McCartney can't even get into a Taiga after party.
Oh, yeah.
So being a Beatle is not the cachet it once was.
What VIP do you need to be?
That's right. Speaking of people who are used to be popular and aren't as much anymore, Jared Fogle.
I almost just did a spit take.
I saw.
I almost did a spit take there.
John Lennon to Jared Fogle.
Look, not as popular as it used to be. I know how to segue.
That was amazing.
You know why?
Kudos.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
It's true. I am, and also...
I am an FBI agent!
That's a lie.
That's not true. I'm sorry. That is a lie. He's challenging his sentence. He says it's wrong to punish me for my fantasies. He's challenging the judge who sentenced him to more than 15 years in prison, arguing that he's being punished in part for his fantasies, and fantasies are not a crime. His lawyers are appealing the sentence on several grounds, claiming the judge had no right to exceed the maximum sentencing guideline, which is 13 years. The The lawyers note the judge who sentenced Fogel said, quote, the defendant is obsessed with child pornography and having sex with minors. He fantasized about it in telephone conversations. Fogel's attorneys say fantasies should not form the basis of a criminal sentence. They quote another court decision which says, quote, we are loath to give the government the power to punish us for our thoughts and not our actions. That's what God's for. According to Fogel's lawyers, the fantasies and requests to third parties were never acted upon by Fogel, and yet they were relied on by the judge in imposing the sentence. Fogel wants the appeals court to give him another sentencing hearing where his actions, not his thoughts, are front and center. Here's my pro tip for Jared Fogel. Shut up! The fuck up. Let your lawyer deal with it. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up.
Now talk more so we can make sure that the punishment, like that, like, I can't wait to disappear. Can't wait to disappear.
I'll say this, and I hate to even act as a smidgen of a devil's advocate, which I'm not really, but it is true that you cannot be sent to jail for having fantasies, or for being a creep, or for being a weirdo, or being a sicko. However, in determining the sentence, you'd think it'd be relevant that this guy is still actively fantasizing about sleeping with 11-year-olds. I think that would be pretty relevant to determine how long you want this guy to be kept away from society. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, there really the whole thing about anything that's something that you think about in your head, but don't act on, but you might really want to act on. You know, it's important to realize that. See, the thing that I mentioned, God, because going to Catholic school, you learn that. If you have an impure thought, it's like having the impure action.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, I mention, only God gets to sentence you for your thoughts and not for your actions. Unless you think bad things about Kanye's new album, and then, of course... because, is your album better?
You even got an album?
How's your jump shot?
How's your jump shot? It's true. This is all a very long preamble and an excuse because I wanted to play this song... by Canadian guitar player Aldo Nova. And it's important because the song from 1996. It's not 1996. It's from the mid-80s. Why is there a helicopter? There's no good reason why there's a helicopter. It was the 80s.
Lasers.
And it's not even real because it's just a fantasy.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
I'm a professionally trained radio DJ.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
Comment.
Turn it off! Turn it off!
All right, fine, I will. Sorry. That's just me going off on a tangent. You know why? That's why. My name's on the show, I can do that. Yeah. I'm behind all of the knobs and switches. Wait, it's not over.
See the man!
Here's the payoff, by the way. This is what we've been waiting for all this time.
It's just a fantasy.
There you go. It's just a fantasy. Thank you, Jared Fogel. That was a long way to go.
It was long.
I was expecting Mariah Carey. It's just a show sweet, still? Sweet fantasy.
Are we still recording?
We're still recording. Show is still free, too.
No tape? We're not out of tape yet?
Nope. Digital. We're good to go. Plenty of hard drive space.
Oh, for now, but what you should do is maybe, you know, so you can get more, is...
More hard drive space? Yeah. It would be great if people would go ahead and shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com, because it helps support the show. It gives money to us so we can do things like pay for more storage space, keep the website up and running so you can actually get the show. Because without the website, no show. Sorry. And the show, as always, is free.
Just do it.
So there you go. Bookmark it. Through the site. Get somebody something nice. They deserve it.
Subliminal.
Yeah. You know what? I bought flea and tick medicine for the cats. You can buy, like, don't even have to be something nice. It can be something you need.
You can buy Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Whip. Whip. Whip. All right. So I teased this at the beginning of the show. The secret to long-lasting couples. I know this is important, Jason, because you're a newlywed.
Mm-hmm.
Also important to me as I am newly engaged. Not so important to Jay because he's divorced.
Nope.
So I'm divorced twice. So I've turned the corner now. So dim the lights, everybody. A large-scale study of sexual satisfaction and overall happiness in long-term couples found that the happiest couples do two things better than you. They fuck and they talk.
They talk about fucking.
And they also
specifically.
They also do lots of different sex moves, including oral, giving each other orgasms. And when these things are standard in the relationship, people report greater happiness over the long haul, even after getting totally used to each other. Now, when I first read this, I said, of course, because men want to fuck and women want to talk. That makes sense to me. But no, it goes far deeper than that. Writing at the Wall Street Journal, Elizabeth Bernstein reports on a study to be released later on in the Journal of Sex Research. Researchers at a handful of universities, including Cal State and the Kinsey Institute, surveyed nearly 40,000 married and or cohabitating people back in 2006. Average age, 40 for women and 46 for men, to determine sexual satisfaction and happiness. By the way, Jenny McCarthy, that's an actual fucking scientific study. They rated current sexual satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 7. I don't know why you would go to 7. That makes no sense.
There's only 7 people.
Then sexual satisfaction when they were just 6 months into the relationship. This won't shock anyone. 83% of the people said they were satisfied for the first 6 months, but only 43% of men and 55% of women said they would call themselves satisfied now. Everyone else was either neutral or dissatisfied. More so the men at 41% dissatisfied compared to women at 27%. Now, about 80% of both satisfied men and women said they have sex about once or twice a week, whereas less than a quarter of the men and women who weren't satisfied said that they do it that much. Now, the notion that the happiest couples tend to have sex about twice a week has been studied before, but researchers aren't clear what makes that the magic number. I thought 3 was the magic number. Apparently, Schoolhouse Rock lied to me. Do they have that much sex because they're happy, or are they happy because they have that much sex? That very tension, which comes first, sexual happiness or sexual frequency, is posited in the Wall Street Journal piece as a chicken or egg question, but it really seems to be completely linked as an aspect of good chemistry. See, couples who are more satisfied or driven to have sex more often, which gives them more satisfaction, leads to more frequency, and factors that lead to sexual frequency and satisfaction seem to be inextricable too. When men and women rank their strongest predictors of satisfaction, here's what it looked like. Men's top 3 were mood setting, sexual variety, and communication. Women, it was orgasms, mood setting, and communication. Why? Because if you're a man, you're having an orgasm no matter what. You know why? Because we're finishers. We're closers. And coffee is for closers only. That's right, ladies. Get yourself some coffee when you can close. That's what I'm saying.
Please don't close. Your legs.
Well, when we're done, it's fine.
Mm-mm. I like to stare at
it
for hours.
When I hear the whole
you
study,
like to
though.
Stare into the gaping maw is what you're saying?
There's no...
Didn't think you'd hear the term gaping maw on the podcast
into,
today, did you?
Delving Listen, into erotica here.
I just want to say, I mean, there's nothing like just looking and staring at a woman's vagina and just thinking, man.
Well, the vagina is on the inside, as Christiana liked to point out on this show. Outside's the vulva.
Yeah, the vulva.
Do you prefer to stare at the inside?
Well, I mean, like, I like it. I just like it, however it appears. You know? I think that it's
like Rosie O'Donnell's?
I like it a lot.
No, I never saw her.
I like it a lot.
I mean,
sorry.
When I was
yourself open for that. Like Rosie O'Donnell.
When I was 16, 17, and that movie was out, you know.
No, trying. Struggle was real, I get it.
But now I got a wife, so it's not hard to, I mean. It's not hard to look at a vagina.
Oh, okay.
I can look at a vagina pretty much any time as long as I'm cordial.
As long as I'm cordial. That's the key. Good day, good wife.
Hello, madam.
Might I peep your vagina?
Take a gander at your genitals.
May I just take a peek?
It's just a little peek.
Let me just have a little peek of your genitals.
You kids are going to make it. So basically, openness and communication makes sex and therefore relationships better. So what's wrong with any of us if we can't do that? When it came to making happy couples ranking mood variables that mattered, it was pretty no duh too, such as saying I love you during a sexual encounter, engaging in sexy talk, laugh at something funny that happened during sex, but no pointing. They light candles or dim the lights. They play background music. Then men and women who were happiest ranked the top five acts that they felt were the most essential to a good sex life. They both say that trying a new sexual position is what makes them the happiest. After that, women say they are satisfied by taking a shower or bath with their partner, getting or giving a massage, incorporating sexy lingerie into their sex life, and talking about or acting out fantasies. Not you, Jared. For men, the order was slightly different. They were most satisfied in order by incorporating lingerie, taking a shower or bath, talking about or acting out fantasies, and getting or giving a massage.
Getting or giving a massage, is that like a way of saying oral sex, eating some puss?
No. I think they actually mean a massage.
People actually... Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And the shower together. I'm sorry, that's so completely overrated. Unless you're like in one of those like really huge,
one of those huge ones,
huge like hotel showers. Like, yeah. Otherwise, if you're in your bathtub and drawing the curtain, it's just awkward.
Yeah, in a regular sized bathtub shower, you're fine.
It's one of those things that sounds really good as a fantasy, like the airplane bathroom, for example, right. The old Mile High Club. Yeah, I think in practice that's probably completely awkward and unpleasant. But you know, hey, we all have fantasies we probably shouldn't act upon, right, Jared?
Right. Exactly, yes. Right, Jared.
Rejoinder.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Jason. Auctions.
Oh, I'm going to say auctions are cool. They're cool.
Jay?
I think auctions are pretty cool.
Yeah, especially with no reserve, because you can get shit cheap.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Cheap.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Jail.
Jail is I would say pretty tool. Mm. I mean, who would sometimes you deserve it, as if you're like a Jared, but I mean anyway.
Jason.
Yeah.
It's like a inclined plane.
What?
A tool.
Yeah. Oh, that kind of plane. Okay.
To quote Bernie Sanders, the privatization and corporation of prisons is completely tool. So I'm going to go tool on jails. As far as Jared goes, Old Testament justice for him.
Private prisons are completely tool.
And finally, excuse me, in cooler tool, keeping everyone happy, Jason.
Keeping everyone happy. That's what I always try to do. So I want to say that it's cool, but I know that it's tool because I should just be who I am. So I'm going to say it's tool.
I'm working on it. I am a lifelong doormat, so I think it is tool. I need to stop being so concerned about that.
It is tool because you can please all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. I'm paraphrasing something completely different that isn't related at all.
Let's see, does that mean I should just go masturbate wherever I want to?
On the megabus?
You know, that sort of foam might help put out the fire. Wouldn't it be ironic if Billy Joel was playing on the radio as the megabus exploded? We didn't start the fire.
It was always burning
while the wheels were turning.
Might get a heart attack.
You ought to know by now.
I thought it was going to be the Bosom Buddies theme.
This is my life.
Do.
The last bus on fire that I recall making the news was actually when the Kings of Leon bus caught fire.
Oh.
Which led to the obvious jokes of, my bus is on fire.
Well, yeah.
Whoa.
All right, that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. Remember, feel free to play along Cool or Tool at home, but no wagering as always.
Like I said, I'll hit you back.
Hat tip to David Letterman for that one. All right, so listen, we all want to live to a ripe old age, right? But how old is too old? Well, Flossie Dickey.
Who?
Flossie Dickey. That's her name.
Porn star?
No. She was around before porn. She's 110 years old, and she lives in Cheney, Washington, which is apparently out near Spokane. And because they've got time to fill on the Fox Morning News in Spokane, they said, you know what, let's go out and talk to 110-year-old Flossie Dickey, and let's send a really perky young blonde reporter to do it.
Good morning. Yes, we are out here at the Cheney Care Center, and I am sitting next to the woman on the front page of the Spokesman Review this morning.
By the way, she holds the newspaper up in front of Flossie, so you can no longer see Flossie, but you can see the picture of her on the front page of the paper.
This is Flossie Dickey, and check it out, folks. We got her very own Good Day Spokane coffee mug. She is enjoying some coffee this morning because, Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
As many times as she can, she likes to take a nap.
By the way, also in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, over the reporter's forehead is a little banner that says, "Right now." Just so you know that this is happening live.
Breaking news.
It's happening live. In the lower third says, "Happy 110th birthday, Flossie Dickey." The interview continues.
Flossie has 3 children. You have 12 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and 15 great-great-grandchildren. You sound like a very busy lady. Yes, she has lived in multiple places in the Northwest, even lived in Arizona. She's originally from Oregon. That's where she was born. And Flossie, this morning, we also have some flowers that we would like to give you. She got her nails done. I don't know if you can see, but they're a beautiful pink. Pink and purple, we heard, were your favorite colors. So I'm just going to set those on your lap for you.
And
they won't stay.
I'll hold them. How about that? So that they stay. Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party.
So
are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
What would you? You would rather be taking a nap, huh?
Not at all.
Oh my goodness.
Nicole.
Anyway, I'm here with Chris Barr. Chris, you have known Flossie. Come on in here. Yes.
Well, I know there's a bit of a delay here, but stay with me. Can you ask Flossie, 110, obviously she knows a few secrets here.
How do you do
it? What is the key to live that long?
Hookers and blow.
Yes, I've been trying to get that out of her. Flossie, the people on TV want to know what the secret is to being able to live so long.
I don't know. I don't fight it. I live it.
She doesn't fight it. She lives it. And that's what her granddaughter actually said to me. When people ask her that, she says she just lives. Any secret food or anything we can all be eating every day to stay alive as long as you?
Keep it going.
Nope, just live it. But joining me here is Chris Barr. Chris, you've been known Flossie for 10 years. Tell us a little bit about her and the time that you've known her here at the Cheney Care Center.
Well, when Flossie first came to us, it was a new experience for her. She was scared.
By the way, they have a big mouth Billy Bass on the wall at the old folks' home, which is fantastic.
She's a jokester.
She's a real jokester.
She does tell jokes.
Yeah.
Her favorite thing, according to her family, is to sit down and have some whiskey straight up.
There you go. Some whiskey straight up. I also heard you enjoy an occasional piece of pie. So, Flossie, happy 110th birthday. If you do the math, she was born in 1906 on February 18th. Matt and Cheerson, we're going to send it back to you guys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Flossie. And you know what? I think Flossie just wants to say, get that TV camera out of here.
Totally.
Let me sip on my cup of coffee and then take a nap. You know what?
Actually, what she's saying is fuck right off.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck out of here, you condescending fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's always bugged me when people talk to the elderly like they were small kids. What would you say is the secret to your long life?
And like, and not being fucking like, listen, let the lady fucking form a thought, you stupid fucking idiot. Yep. Oh my god, that fucking bitch! I swear to God,
the longest 4 minutes of my life.
That I thank you. I fucking already watched this once, and like this is the second time I've had to be put through this shit. And I swear to God, I wanted to wring her fucking neck. I don't listen. I don't like violence, especially against women. But I swear to God, that lady who talks to a fucking elder like that, like that was the most disrespectful. Where did she go? Did she get her fucking journalism fucking badge out of a fucking Cracker Jack box?
No, USC, same thing.
Oh, my God. who the fuck?
So you have so many children and so many... You sound like a really busy lady.
I'm at a fucking home because my kids can't fucking take care of me, you fucking bitch. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, she's 110. Her kids are like 80.
True that.
So basically about this whole video, you just have this to say?
I am tired.
I'm tired of stupid bitches. Jesus Christ! And then the fucking reporter that's at the desk who's supposed to be a fucking professional and should know how to fucking act. Can you tell? Like already seeing how the fucking story is gone, and that she does not want to fucking talk. It's like, hey, let's ask her another question that she doesn't want to fucking answer.
Very clearly.
Meanwhile, in the control room, here's the director's track.
This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
Yeah, what's going on?
I thought they were going, no, listen, we stretch it. Stretch it. We don't have enough ad space. Right. We don't have enough ads.
Keep trying to squeeze blood out of that turnip.
Dude, listen, we don't have any PSAs.
Can't the weather guy fill? I mean, seriously.
No, the weather guy's a fucking idiot, too.
Show tower cams or something. Look how nice it is outside. For those of you without a window, like Flossie, here's what it looks like outside. So, yeah, that's what's going on in Spokane. Aren't you glad you don't live there?
I'm so glad that I live in Sacramento, California. Yeah.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Yeah, there are worse places to be, like Florida. You mentioned that you enjoy when Florida women get into business. Well, a Florida shoplifter took more than $2,000 of designer duds from a beachside outlet, but she lost her cell phone and control of her bladder in the process. That's right. Brooke Amber Sutton was arrested after an Ann Taylor outlet employee discovered several removed security tags, a cell phone, and a puddle of pee in the dressing room. And I know what you're thinking. This has to be an old lady like Flossie. Oh, no. 27-year-old also raided Saks at Miramar Beach Silver Outlets, swiping 6 pairs of jeans by draping them over her arms and hiding them under a men's coat. Before she got caught, of course. Her spree began after she allegedly took several pieces of Ann Taylor merchandise into a fitting room, ripped off the security tags, and waltzed out of the shop. An employee found the left-behind tags in the cell phone and called deputies. Sutton also urinated on the floor before leaving the boutique undetected. Then she went to Saks Fifth Shop to steal 15 to 20 pairs of jeans. It's a busy day. Yeah,
judging by the mugshot there, I think that meth may just be a hell of a drug.
Well, something's going on there. Jesus.
Well, she had just finished interviewing a 110-year-old lady, and she was pretty stressed out. That'll wear on you. Meanwhile, Florida man Jeb Bush has suspended his campaign, but he was still jovial when talking to reporters about possibilities for his future.
Governor, would you consider being Donald Trump's vice president?
No. and let's be clear, I don't think he would ask me.
By the way, that was Lindsey Graham, noted jackass, next to Jeb Bush laughing. Lindsey Graham. In case you're wondering. So Jeb Bush suspended his campaign. Mm. At least he's self-aware to know that Donald Trump's not asking. Although I read today that Rudy Giuliani is the consigliere to Donald Trump's campaign. So if you're wondering the political know-how behind Donald Trump, it's Rudy Giuliani. Mayor 9/11.
So that's why, yeah, I was going to say, that's why Trump keeps bringing up 9/11. Although he was bringing it up to put down Jeb Bush, so I don't know how he'll keep bringing it up now.
Well, you know, if there's anybody who knows how to bring up 9/11 out of nowhere, it's Rudy Giuliani. So there you go. All right. Meanwhile, in Canada, Jay's homeland, they have BuzzFeed Canada. I don't know why. BuzzFeed's perfectly okay. Why do you need a version with maple syrup? Whatever.
Hey.
A senior writer for BuzzFeed Canada announced last week that the website was looking to hire freelance writers, but went out of her way to say that they were not looking for white males. Her name is Sachi Cool, and apparently she's not. She tweeted, "Would you like to write long form for @BuzzFeed Canada? Well, you can. We want pitches for your Canada-centric essays and reporting." Okay, sounds great. Tweet number two, @BuzzFeed Canada would particularly like to hear from you if you are not white and not male.
So you're saying she's more of a Sachi tool?
That's right. And last thing, if you're a white man upset that we are looking mostly for non-white men, I don't care about you. Go write for McLean. Which is a really big insult if you're in Canada.
Yeah.
You're in Canada. White males surprisingly were less than happy with the announcement, which led her to go on the defensive. She tweeted, @DanSpareen, white men were still permitted to pitch. I will read it. I will consider it. I'm just less interested because, ugh, men.
Ugh, men.
What, is she Kathy, the comic strip character come to life? What's going on?
Ugh.
She then tweeted, white men, get huffy when you don't actively encourage white men to do stuff because white men think they are owed everything. How about the next time you have to hire somebody, this is what you have to do. Women and minorities encouraged. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You know what? As a white guy, you know what that means.
Yeah.
But you don't need to say, because we're not stupid. Well, most of us.
Well, I
understand you're trying to address, you know, decades upon decades. I mean, you look at Mad Men, for example, and that's what society used to be. So I get it. You're trying to be more inclusive, bring in, you know, non-traditional, quote-unquote, voices.
Right.
But
women and minorities encouraged.
Yeah, but
that's what that phrase means.
You don't need to oppress to, you know, listen, pretty much it's oppression to make up for oppression.
There's code. There's code for everything, and as a white guy, you understand what women and minorities encouraged means. It means if you're a white guy, they will hire you only if they can't find a woman or a minority. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's fine, because you mm-hmm. probably have a staff full of people who are white guys.
Didn't she say also that, like, white men should be sent down the river or something? Yeah,
she said a lot of things, and then she deleted her Twitter account.
Ah,
because that's
as is tradition.
Well, yeah, that's what you do.
Now,
granted, she probably got a lot of really, really hateful tweets.
Mm-hmm. She got hateful tweets as soon as she said, would particularly like to hear from you if you are not white and not male. Like, as soon as she said that, I guarantee you that all those fucking idiot white guys, all as Kareem would call them, all of our crazy cousins, like, started coming out of the woodwork saying stupid shit like, oh, you stupid hoe bag, you fucking ugly cunt. Like, oh, you're fucking such a stupid, I hope somebody fucking rapes you, fucking stupid ass bitch. Or like, saying shit like, I'm sorry, I'm not, I can understand.
I now have the promo audio for our sponsored post on Facebook. Why would Jason say such a thing?
Find out.
We'll play that. We'll put it together with the Hitler phone call from the last show.
Oh my god! But no, seriously though, I mean, like, I get where they're. And then also, I think because of what BuzzFeed is, it's mm-hmm. about prolonging it, and it's about, you know, getting repeated and tweeted, and you know. I think it just reeks of nothing but, like, let's get this shit out there.
No, there are just more astute ways to say that you want your publication to diversify in viewpoints than saying that white men should be sent down the river.
Yeah, she wasn't very smart about it. But here's the thing. If you're a white guy, do you really want to write for BuzzFeed Canada? As of right now, as the recording of the show, here are the recent posts on BuzzFeed Canada. 17 times Canadian news was totally underwhelming.
That's an arbitrary line.
Also, another brilliant piece of writing. Can we guess your age based on your Tim Hortons order? 9 photos that prove Canada's parliament is basically Hogwarts. How about this? Would you like to write this great article? 23 signs you grew up in Toronto. or 21 reasons Oshawa, Ontario is the fucking worst.
I need to go to this website.
19 hilarious tweets about the typical Canadian experience. 9 hilarious charts that will help explain Canadian pop songs. Really? Who wants to write this? No wonder you can't get any women or minorities to apply to your shitbag site.
I'm thinking that this might be some. They might just be trolling.
We want women and minorities to write in this insipid material.
Seriously, I'm just reading you the list of recent publications to BuzzFeed Canada. The only one in this whole list that's even remotely anything that a sane person should want to write about is Justin Trudeau will attend Toronto's Pride Parade, making him the first Canadian Prime Minister to do so. That's one. Below it is the 9 hilarious charts will help explain Canadian pop songs, and 15 President's Choice items that you're trying to make a fool out of you.
Yeah. President's Choice, Tim Hortons. Hey, look at us. We're all Canadian, eh?
Or maybe you want to make a quiz. This is the hardest Degrassi quiz you'll ever take.
Oh, my God.
This just sounds like...
Who wants to write for this piece of shit?
It sounds like a site that was put up by the BuzzFeed people to make fun and mock Canadians.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's a publication that treats Canada as if it was a cliche.
By the way, here's another one that you might have written yourself, although it was not. It was Sarah Aspler who wrote... The article, the only thing weirder than bagged milk is this bagged milk Twitter account. For those who don't know, in Canada, you don't get a carton of milk or a jug of milk. You get a bag of milk.
You can buy milk in jugs or in cartons.
Is it really like a bag?
The traditional way is a bag that contains itself 3 or 4 bags of milk. So you buy a bag with it that has like 3 or 4 1-liter bags of milk.
Hold on a second. My fucking head is spinning right now.
You put it into a pitcher. You cut the little corner of it.
And pour it into the pitcher? And then
don't pour into the pitcher. You take the whole plastic bag and you plunk it in the pitcher. And then you cut the corner of the plastic bag and then you pour it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, my family never believed that. No one in my family ever bought it in bags just because of the sheer hassle of it. Inevitably, at one point, you end up with milk all over your refrigerator. Yeah, it
sounds like a horrible
idea.
It's
kind of a dumb way to do it.
My mom used to always talk about having powdered milk when she was a kid.
This is not powdered milk.
No, this is the exact opposite. Liquid. It's fucking ass.
Yeah, my understanding is that it happens. I think it was sometime during the Second World War that they had a shortage of some resource or other that they started bagging milk.
Paper?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably glass.
Oh, but yeah, probably glass.
Yeah.
All right, so here are some of the 19 hilarious tweets about the typical Canadian experience as written by Cat Angus.
It sounds like a
cat who?
Cat Angus.
Cat Angus?
on healthcare, if you're Canadian, sure, you get universal healthcare, but you also must live in mortal fear of the smell of burnt toast.
Huh?
On fashion, the problem with Halloween in Canada is that you need to find a way to fit your costume under your huge coat. Here's an entertainment tweet that's hilarious. Know that movie you love? We don't have it, but we do have an awful sequel that you didn't know existed. Canadian Netflix.
This is so awesome.
Overheard a conversation amongst girls about, quote, the biggest fuckboy in Perry Sound at the Hortons. Ten bucks, his name is Dustin.
Or Gord.
Typical Canadian conversations. Well, that's something there. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both turn into kettles.
oh, yeah.
On weather, American Horror Story, Canadian Winter. How to react to winter? Helpful Canadian tips for snowbound Americans. Just chill out, have a beer, and lots of games on tonight.
You know, this is the article version of what I do to humor, you know, people who have these really huge cliches of Canadians, where I just suddenly start saying A every third word just to fulfill their fantasies of what it's like to be Canadian.
By the way,
feeds into that.
The big buzz feeds into it. The big difference between Canada and America is and always will be Horse cops.
Poutine? Oh, horse cops. Yeah, because that doesn't happen at all in the United States.
I'm sorry.
Never mind, the NYPD has like a few hundred of them.
Or in Sacramento also.
Yeah, but horse cops. Yes, that's what makes us Canadian.
Whatever. Is the Canadian dollar bad because we're all losers?
We're all hosers, eh?
Well, if you wrote this article for BuzzFeed, yes.
You may be a loser, eh?
BuzzFeed Canada. So, yeah, good luck. Good luck finding your new diverse writing staff.
I'm gonna see. I think I have one or two friends on my friends list that that might work at BuzzFeed. I need to figure out if this is. I'm a little suspicious about BuzzFeed Canada because it's too on the dot and too boring to actually like. Because BuzzFeed actually has some pretty good stuff. It's screaming. Otherwise, I'm really sorry, guys. Like, you guys are. Just close down that office.
But you wonder, it's like, I know they have BuzzFeed France and BuzzFeed, you know, a bunch of other countries.
UK,
so you wonder, like, yeah, does BuzzFeed France just start writing articles all day long about what it's like to be French?
Mm.
It's like, you would think they'd actually find, you know, relevant things to write about besides articles for Canadians to high-five each other.
19 ways to eat cheese.
17 most annoying French laughs.
which red meat should I eat this wine with?
12 worst wine and cheese pairings. But you know, it's not like that. It's almost like the essence of Canadianism to make fun of yourself. But there's a line. It's like, if that's going to be the whole purpose of your site, what are you trying to do?
By the way, women and minorities encouraged.
Yes.
BuzzFeed Canada, they're looking for you. They're looking for you. By the way, I could not find a single article on BuzzFeed Canada that was not written by a white chick. So you got plenty of women.
Yeah.
They're not funny. At least the ones you have. They're not funny.
Well, do you send them down the river like the white men?
Sure. Well, sure.
Okay.
So that they can talk and have sex and build a lasting relationship and have kids named Gord. Because that's what you do. It's what you do. All right. You know what else you do? Shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Ah.
We'd really appreciate that. So go ahead and do it.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Well, it's that time. It's time for Little Bits, the article written by our friend Gordy Little.
I love you, Gordy.
What?
Yes, Little Bits.
Oh.
In the Sun Community News.
Oh, God.
This one's titled Warm Cold. Is it possible to be warm and cold at the same time? I wrote this on Valentine's Day. It was a warm day in my heart as I greeted that Sunday morning by sharing a card and a kiss with my wife of almost 42 years. I would refer to her as Catherine the Great, but Kay would demur and insist that she would never fuck a horse. The temperature that day was cold enough to freeze your words if you tried to converse outside. You would have to bring them inside to thaw in order to hear anything.
Oh, that Gordy.
It was cold enough that if you had a brass monkey on the lawn, you brought them in as well.
Brass monkey.
That funky monkey. We needed that kind of silly humor last week when the thermometer bottomed near 30 below in some places. Visit that, Jason. We didn't dare to smile or risk cracked lips. And that's just Kay's vagina.
Vulva.
That's true. Labia. Kay dressed me in thick duds to keep the cold outside as I ventured to Saranac Lake on Saturday for a TV show at the Winter Carnival. There were many wags urging them to cancel the parade, but that wasn't going to happen. It was shortened to keep the youngest marchers inside and prevent damage to frozen lips on musical instruments. Still, it was a great time, and I enjoyed the visit with my family and friends. When my audience sees the shaky videography, they'll be treated to lovely scenes of sky and earth as I attempted to see through foggy glasses and a frosted screen. I suffered prickly facial skin at the palace and opted to slip on strange-looking but effective full face mask. When I recorded the parade, double socks and thick long johns rounded out the cold weather garb, and I was most grateful to Kay for the outfit. We live in a beautiful area that I enjoy through all the seasons, but as I nudge old age, the minus 20-something thermometer readings are less appealing. I suppose that's the stuff of legends. If it weren't for that, I would have been hard put to settle on a topic for this week. Meanwhile, back to Kay in our toasty Morrisonville home. Kay, smart enough to stay inside on a cold day. We've had many good times throughout our decades together. We've also managed to survive weather conditions that are frightening, even in retrospect. We logged 4-foot snowfalls and minus 40 degrees. There were frozen pipes and stuffing logs in the old wood stove. We survived. We're a hardy bunch. And that's what our granddaughter Kelly said when we walked out of her mother's house to head for the parade. We'll remain hardy for whatever the weather person brings us in the future. Of course, at this stage in our lives, we take a respite in the sunny Southland in the midst of winter just to improve our attitude. We hope you had a fine Valentine's Day with somebody you love. Mine was delightfully warm right here with Kay. How I love that woman. What? It was nice.
It was nice, right?
It was nice, right?
I'm sure he got her like a nice little cute car with kittens on the front of it.
He got her?
He got her the dick.
Gave her the big dick. Do you think Gordy and Kay are still doing it?
Oh, well, Viagra. I mean, anything's possible, of course.
Slapping that old meat.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't slap the meat anymore. I mean, come on. He's got Kay. I mean, come on.
He does like to stay warm by staying inside.
That's right. You got to do that. Cause that's...
I wonder if he's still like, yeah.
What?
I was just going to say, I wonder if he's had, like, if he's survived prostate cancer, if he still has something there, you know what I mean?
Wow, that was a dark place to go to.
I'm sorry. I mean, like, well, otherwise, my dad said, like, the best thing about going through prostate cancer was, like, that there's nothing left in it. Like, it's just, like, air that comes out. Like, you don't have the fluid anymore.
Well, that doesn't sound great at all.
Nah, it's no mess. No mess, no muss.
Yes, the savings on Kleenex is the best part.
It's the best
getting
part
prostate cancer.
Hey, you know.
Well, how do you know when you're done then?
Well, yes, exactly.
You don't.
Do you just go, well, it's starting to chafe?
Yeah. Well, I think that's enough time. You just have to put your timer on.
Suddenly hear.
Make sure the egg timer's next to you. Put it on 15 minutes. It should be done by now.
An ember just flew off my cock. I think I'm done.
I think I just started a forest fire. Jesus.
That's why you don't do it outside.
Definitely not near a pile of old, like, evergreen needles.
Yeah, no leaves. You want to do that. That's sad. You don't want to do
not
it.
Near any, like, gas fumes.
No. Not while you're fueling up.
No, definitely not while you're fueling up.
You want to smoke, make a cell phone call, or beat off.
Yes.
Without your prostate, if you can help it.
You can help it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. This is quite an interesting pair of shows. Thank you, Jay, for sitting in.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you for showing up, Jason.
Well, I needed to so I could talk about prostate cancer. And
that's true. Maybe next week we can hear all about Sam's tranny.
Yeah.
See where it went wrong.
See what happened with his tranny.
What happened with your tranny, my son?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
I mean, we knew that he was into tranny, but I didn't know how deep he was into the tranny.
Yeah, well, elbow deep, apparently.
He's elbow deep in his tranny right now.
He's putting parts in. Parts in the tranny.
He's taking parts out and putting new parts
in. Taking the old parts out of the tranny, putting the new parts in the tranny. So what's going on? I'm going to leave you. This is a song Brian Fallon played at his show last Thursday night at Ace of Spades, which has now been bought by Live Nation. So there you go. So I heard it live for the first time before I heard it. And then the next morning I woke up and it automatically downloaded on my iTunes. So enjoy. It's called Steve McQueen on The Nate Darling Show. We'll see you on Wednesday with a fresh new show. Bye-bye. This life is always the same. Nothing like the colors in our dreams. We just wanted to be Steve McQueen in our horses of English racing green. You and me in British racing green. You and me in Steve. Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.